This the Black Powder Podcast. Kick up your feet, lean on your armrest, right, and get your mind blessed on this conquest. Hold a grip like a 12 gauge. Let this moment kick. Black people moving and having some gun ownership. I carry weight, not to keep the camera safe. It's thinking about you, my kids and my parents' faces. The big topics they don't wanna involve us. Think we're novice, but now we're moving hard with revolvers. This the Black Powder Podcast. Let's get it started. Yeah.
Primer's hit, the powder's lit. It's time to get on target. Welcome to another episode of the Black Powder Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Yasuke Fett. And just a general reminder of your marching orders and why we have created the Black Powder Podcast. The main mission is to change the social view of black society and firearms. How did we do that? Glad you asked. We talk, walk, read, write, and think about it to find a better solution for a brighter future for the proper protection of black people. Join us through education, practice, and safety as we take down the stigma of black people and guns, one discussion at a time. Just a general reminder, you cannot do a mag dump without a couple of rounds. So if you like what you're hearing and you happen to like this show, send out an email to blackpowderpodcast@gmail.com and let me know what your favorite episode is. Whether or not you agree, disagree, or have questions, please make sure to send them to blackpowderpodcast@gmail.com. And always, feel free to like, share, and subscribe. The only way to continue to grow is to continue to share this knowledge with other people. And the only way to even get the message out is to let everyone know. So once again, if you like what you heard and would like to continue to hear, please like, share, and subscribe. And as always, you can find us on multiple platforms, especially main ones. As of recently, we are now on Spotify, Apple iTunes, Google Podcast, Amazon Music, and Audible. We're just going to get straight to the brass on this one. There was a school shooting at the Appalachian High School in Winder, Georgia that happened Wednesday, which was the 4th of September, 2024. You've got a lot of unfortunate stuff that's happened here. There were four that were shot and killed. Two of them were teachers. Two of them were students. One of them was a special needs student. And really, at the end of the day, like most of these things, all of it could have really been prevented. I'm just going to go ahead and go into the article for Fox 5 Atlanta. They've discovered recent news as of late. I think this is about 9 hours old. It's titled, Accused Appalachian High School Shooter's Troubled Home Life Potential Warning Signs. Barrow County, Georgia. New information has surfaced about Colt Gray, a ninth grader accused of opening fire inside Appalachian High School on Wednesday morning, killing two teachers, two students, and injuring nine others. The details shed light on potential warning signs missed prior to the tragic events. These warning signs were as old as 2023, but we'll get into that a little bit more in a few seconds. The Fox 5 I team has reviewed public records and obtained a recording of an interview between Colt Gray, his father Colin Gray, and Jackson County Sheriff's Office. The interview took place after FBI received a tip in 2023 regarding a threat to shoot up a school, allegedly made on a gaming app. Investigator, do you have weapons in the house? Colin Gray, I do. Colin is the father. Investigator, accessible to him. Colin, they are. I mean, there's nothing loaded, but they are down. That is the first mistake right there. If, you know what, I'm going to just hold my thoughts. I'm going to hold my thoughts right now. We're just going to get to the meat and potatoes of the article here. So once again, he said, the father said, they are. I mean, there's nothing loaded, but they are down. Investigator, okay. Colin, we actually do a lot of shooting. We do a lot of deer hunting. He shot his first deer this year. The emerging details paint a troubling picture of a fractured family life. According to police and court records, Colt Gray's home situation was tumultuous. Colt lived with his father, while his two younger siblings resided with their mother, Marcy Gray. Last year, Marcy Gray was arrested for scratching her husband's truck, and during their arrest, officers found methamphetamines, fentanyl, and a glass pipe in her possession. She was sentenced to 46 days in jail. In a separate incident, Jackson County Sheriff investigators visited the Gray household following an FBI tip related to the school threat. At the time, Colt, then 13, denied making the threats, according to incident reports. During the interview, his father admitted that there were guns in the house, but stated they were not loaded. Colin Gray described taking his son hunting, explaining his effort to encourage Colt to spend more time outdoors and less time playing video games. I don't know anything about him saying shit like that. I'm going to be mad as hell if he did. And then all the guns will go away. And they won't be accessible to him. You know, I'm trying my best to be honest with you. I'm trying to teach him about firearms and safety and how to do it all, getting him interested in the outdoors, Colin Gray told investigators during the same interview. While authorities were unable to substantiate the tip, the Jackson County Sheriff's Office reportedly alerted local schools to monitor Colt Gray. An email obtained by Fox 5 shows a sheriff captain informed the FBI, "We have made area schools aware and will monitor this subject." However, Colt later moved with his father to a different county, enrolling in Appalachian High School in Barrow County. It remains unclear whether the alert from Jackson County was communicated to Colt's new school or what monitoring would have entailed in the situation. Colt Gray is now being charged with 4 counts of felony murder. Colin Gray has now been charged with 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter, 2 counts of second-degree murder, and 8 counts of cruelty to children. So, let's just go back over some highlights in the article here. First and foremost, the interview that took place after the FBI received a tip in 2023 regarding a threat to shoot up a school allegedly made on a gaming app. I don't know if too many people remember the Columbine shooting a long time ago, but that was actually before gaming apps got extremely popular like that, or before they were even around. And you had a group of kids roll up into the school and started shooting up everybody. Killed a lot of people. And it was playing outside of the school. Now, there may have been people who found out about it. There may not have. I don't know. But times are different. And I could easily see that being less of a blip on the radar versus this shooting, especially whenever there was signs and certain key points leading up to it. The fact that he was called out for making a threat over a gaming app is just, this is obvious shit. This could have been prevented. This was the first red flag that should have popped up, if anything. Now, I know for the most part, most of these games nowadays involve a lot of shooting, or they involve a lot of simulated violence, whatever, however you want to phrase it. But nonetheless, if somebody's making a threat on these apps, I mean, yeah, that's something to actually take into a serious mindset. So the fact that this went unnoticed or just shrugged off, if you will, I don't know, maybe they were looking at it like kids will be kids. You can't really hurt anybody in a video game. Kids get heated in the moment of playing games. I don't know, whatever excuse you want to use, somebody was probably in that mindset. And they didn't really take this serious. Now, granted, the FBI did get involved. And here's where we find out that Colt's father has firearms accessible to his child. I'll requote. "Do you have weapons in the house?" I do. "Accessible to him." "They are. I mean, there's nothing loaded, but they are down." This dude is living with a teenager. It's not like he's living with a 3-year-old or 4-year-old. And by that, I mean, a teenager is going to have a little bit more mechanical mobility whenever it comes to figuring out how to load a firearm, more so than a 2 or 3-year-old. Granted, a 2 or 3-year-old could just like fiddle around and maybe, if the gun was already preloaded, find out a way to get it to fire. Because the culture we live in, you know, there's a lot of younger people have a lot more accessibility to violence. And the sad thing is you got a lot of parents who are giving them the tools to simulate that violence. Because again, The man said there's nothing loaded, but they are down, which means that these firearms are out in the open. He did not do the due diligence or take time to do a responsible thing and make sure that they are put in at the very least a safe, or at the most a safe, at the very least locked up with trigger locks or chamber locks, or basically have any sort of functionality to where they couldn't be used. And in all honesty, when you roll down to the mother, which I'm surprised the mother wasn't really brought up into this, because more so than what they said, because Marcy Gray clearly had aggression issues, and she's got, I think, what, two of his younger brothers living. Yeah. What's it say? Two younger siblings resided with their mother, Marcy Gray. Last year, which is 2023, Marcy Gray was arrested for scratching her husband's truck. And during their arrest, officers found methamphetamine, fentanyl, and a glass pipe in her possession. Basically, all that means is that she was an addict, she had issues, and she had two of those kids living with her. It sounds like the family was going through a separation or something. I don't know. But nonetheless, you got a drug addict who's sitting here raising kids. And people are just overlooking the fact that they, what, you think that they're going to grow up in a happy household and they're not going to be affected by this and everything's going to be okay? Sunshine, rainbows, unicorn shit and Skittles? No. These kids are affected by this. And clearly, as you can see, and I'm not justifying the dude shooting, because if by all means, this is just another sickening event that could have been prevented. But you can easily see where some sort of household trauma could come from in this situation. All of this could have been prevented. I don't know why, especially after reading that part about the mother's issues, and you would think the father would actually take some consideration into this as well, because it was his truck that got scratched up. So clearly, he knew what type of woman she was. I mean, hell, he married her. So why in the world would you... I get that you want your kid to go outside more, get out the video games. Cool, whatever. But there's other ways you can do it before you introduce them to firearms. And if you are going to take them outside and introduce them to firearms, once again, make sure that they are put away safely. I mean, this has been something that's been brewing since 2023. And whatever issue this kid was dealing with, I mean, we're dealing with kids that aren't as... No, I don't even want to say that. I was going to say that they don't have the mental fortitude that the older generation had. But no, the older generation, yeah, you dealt with bullies right on the spot. And you dealt with that issue right on the spot as well. Used to be able to beat, you know, go get into a fight, have two kids beat each other up, dust each other off, end up having some sort of respect for each other. But in this generation, we've got so much access to social media to the point where it's really easy to continuously 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days, bully a kid. To the point where, and I'm not justifying this, but I mean, just look at it from this perspective. You got kids being bullied to the point where they cannot get away from it. Because social media is so influential and it's so impressionable that you not only have the school bullying people, the homeroom bullying people, but you almost have like the entire Northern American continent, if you will, bullying these kids if it becomes viral enough. And God forbid if it becomes extremely viral and it goes to other continents. In a sense, it's almost like these kids are dealing with the weight of the world on their shoulders, and you got all this stuff happening to them all at once. And the best you can tell them is, you know, just shrug it off. It'll be okay. I've been through worse whenever I was your age. But nonetheless, this should never equate to violence. And there should never be key items left out for this violence to even happen in the first place. That's negligence on the parents' part. How can you gain trust, especially whenever you're not fully aware of who the person your child is becoming? It's like you just, well, you got a light touch thing going on where you just let your kid go do what the kid's going to do and, you know, the world will raise them. No, you can't have that hippie mentality or that mindset. The old adage is it takes a village to raise a child. And if the village isn't there, then that child is lost to a world of darkness and is going to end up reflecting what they're getting. I don't know what the motives of this kid was, or this young adult, if you will. I don't know what would cause him to go and do this shit. But I do remember kids like him when I was in school. I do remember kids getting bullied like him when I was in school. But still. Things like this are easily preventable. And yet we're still dealing with the question of how do we protect our kids at school? Because let's be real, the funding from government sources isn't exactly as strong as it should be. Like I said in the previous podcast, they've got billions of, if not millions of dollars to put towards protecting our politicians and all sorts of other people housed underneath the White House. But yet, whenever it comes to protecting the future generation of potential new politicians, if you think about it, it's almost like a gauntlet they have to survive. It's like if you can survive K through 12, make it to graduation, make it through college, because let's be real, the colleges have issues too, and become a full-fledged adult, do your time, do the work that's necessary to move forward, you too might one day be able to become a complete, total functioning member of society if you don't get killed first. Danger is always there. And as I always say, safety is the illusion of human comforts. But even still, if we have civilized ourselves to the point where we're supposed to be able to prevent these things from happening, why are they still happening? Greed is the answer I'm looking at as far as why this is a thing. Because if you think about how schools are whenever you have a population boom, it's not like they're building new sections of the school. No, I mean, they're just putting down metal trailers and filling it up to the brim, if not more than what the brim is. So now you got an overabundance of students in schools, and they got to run from point A to point B and try to make it on time to the next class in this giant complex of a building, if you want to call it that. And usually you have like maybe one police officer of that patrolling the entire school. That police officer isn't walking around with a rifle or anything. Lord only knows what type of body armor he might be wearing. Let's just say it's probably, I don't know, 3A, which is going to stop handgun fire at the very least. But nonetheless, the schools are still underfunded. It shouldn't even be a situation where you have to have metal detectors or like bag searches as soon as they enter the premises. But you know what? At this point, if it keeps them alive, then it might be the best thing for them. I hate to say it, and I hate to even see it go to that point. But hey, the end of the day, if the money's not coming to the county or to the school or whatever, something is going to happen to where the school is going to have to find a way to put that into the budget. Because me personally, I don't think arming teachers is a good idea. Who's to say that you won't have a teacher who doesn't exactly know what the situation is going on as far as like kids getting into a fight or whatever? Right, let's just say it's a physical altercation involving a fist, and then something happens, the teacher has to take action, the teacher's in a mindset of, oh god, danger, and then all of a sudden the teacher ends up shooting an unarmed student. It's already bad enough that there's the topic of school shootings that is still popular even now. Why are you going to create an internal school shooting by arming teachers? It seems like a good idea, but is anybody thinking of the consequences? Not just that. Does that mean that you're going to train teachers in triage? Are they going to learn CPR? Are they going to learn how to use the AEDs? Are they going to learn first aid, stop the bleed? I mean, everything else that I think would create a good steward of firearm ownership, if you will, isn't going to be reflected, because the main thing they're looking at is we got to defend our kids. We need to arm our teachers. We need to arm our faculty. And yet they still don't get paid what they should be getting paid. So you're going to have, I don't know, you're going to arm somebody who might be making, let's just say, around $20,000, $30,000, however much they really make. I don't know the teacher's salary, but I do know that it's not exactly extravagant. They're civil servants, and what they're doing is training the next generation and teaching them, at least. But nonetheless, they're not soldiers. They're not police. And you expect them to go into a school, learn how to shoot firearms, and make law enforcement decisions, military decisions, whatever you want to call it. That's not forward thinking. If anything, that's just that's reactive thinking. You're trying to put a patch on a problem that's grown bigger than what you're trying to do, what you're trying to patch up. And if the parents are the problem, as you can see clearly in this situation, doesn't matter how much money you put towards mental health, you can only focus on one person. But if the outside influence is still pushing that one person to keep in the same position that they're in, what good is all this money going towards mental health if it's not going to change anything? And it's been pushed so much to the point where it's like, okay, cool, that's great. So what about the other stuff? How are we going to solve that? Oh, just keep focusing on your mind. Everything will get better over time. Live, love, laugh. I'm just tired of hearing about school stabbings, school shootings, just violence in the schools. And it's going to take a lot more than gun control laws to even change this. Because if anything, the only laws that really, as you can see here, the only laws that really matter when it comes to gun control are the ones to the actual civilians that are willing to follow them. It's almost like a kid gets in trouble, you have to create a law. Oh, don't touch those cookies. If the cookies are down low and the kid wants a cookie, he's still going to touch the cookie. A law is just a mental comfort that is put there to scare people, or at least keep the honest people on a quote-unquote righteous path, or whatever you want to call it. But whenever it comes to people who live outside of that honesty, who live outside of that quote-unquote righteous path, what good is a law? A law is just wind that has blown their direction that does not affect them. When we actually used to live in communities where neighborhoods knew everybody and people actually sat down and had the difficult conversations, things were different. Now, granted, you might have had some hatred here and differences there, whether they be cultural, racial, whatever. And I'm not justifying it, because that stuff doesn't even need to be a thing. But, you know, lo and behold, here it is, still strong in 2024. But nonetheless, at least there was some sort of organization as far as just getting kids to school, not having them get shot up. That's another conversation. I mean, because don't get me wrong, things were not perfect back then either. Hell, I've dealt with my share of racism. But I never had to worry about being shot while I'm trying to learn the Pythagorean theorem, or take your pick of topic. This should have been solved a long time ago. And that's what baffles me still. Because like I said, the conversations aren't being done properly. Because you got too many people trying to push their agenda and their points across. Let's go back to the Trump shooting that happened a couple of months ago. if not last month. Instead of focusing on the fact that it was a young adult that took shots at a presidential candidate slash former president, everybody focused on the fact that Trump survived, Trump is strong. They basically turned a man into a living martyr. But nobody brought up the fact that it was a young person that shot at this man. Just like if you go on social media now and you look at the shooters, the online community, if you will, talking about why is the father being arrested? He shouldn't be arrested. He had nothing to do with his son causing the shooting. Which if you read this article, clearly he did. He willingly left firearms out in the open. Everybody's so quick to come to the defense of something without knowing the full details of what's going on. And completely ignoring a problem that's been chronic in our society for the longest time. But everybody's so quick to get their point across and say what's right and what's wrong. I think, honestly, the fact that the Trump shooter died, everybody just said, okay, cool, justice was done. He's dead. But in this case, you got a lot of people caping for the shooter because he didn't die. Because I guarantee you the same thing. If he would have died, everybody would have been like, yeah, good, okay, cool, he deserved it. Moving on to the next issue. And if you look at how things went down during COVID, that's basically the heartbeat of what society is right now in America. You got the people that are still stuck in the middle, and then you got the people that are on either the left side or the right side who are busy trying to push their mentality or their beliefs on other people. And it's just large echo chambers on both sides. Because at the end of the day, mask or no mask, vax or no vax, everything turns into a political movement, which is ridiculous. There's no consideration for human life anymore. Like, there's no mindfulness of people's mortality. In a sense, it's almost like just selfishness is the thing that's motivating a lot of people. Or just good feelings, bad feelings. If bad feel, leave alone. If good feel, keep going. But there's not enough thinking. Or I guess maybe at this point, we're just sitting back letting the people who quote unquote do the thinking control things. I don't know. I just know that there's a very skewed perception of what right is whenever it comes to dealing with situations in society. And this is why that we're continuously plagued with things that should have been done with a long time ago. I guess at the end of the day, I'm just looking at it like I really pray and I hope that in the future, when my daughter gets old enough to go to high school, that these things will not be an issue. But the way the track record is set, I worry about her every day. Even in like, she's going to be going to this, second grade soon, but I worry about her every day because of this. And this is just something that a parent should not have to worry about. I shouldn't have to worry about how another parent is raising their child because it's already hard enough and stressful enough trying to worry about your own kids. Because if the other parents aren't doing the whole village thing, if they've truly left their child out in the dark to fend for themselves, then you just unleash wolves upon our society. The sheepish mindset is going to continue to deal with the wolf attacking them regardless, and just chalk it up to better you than me eventually. Honestly, I think we really need a lot more sheepdogs. Because there's got to be people out there that are actually still willing to protect the society, no matter if it's through law, through being there for not just their kids or other people. Especially because if you got somebody coming up to you and actually asking for help, not asking for money or asking for anything that's blatantly obvious that they're not really trying to change anything. But if you actually have somebody coming up to you and asking you for help, help them. That's what being a good steward of society is. That's what being a civilian is. Now, I honestly think that there's a lot of people that's forgotten the definition of what that means. Because if we all have to live on this piece of land, this rock, whatever you want to call it, we're all going to have to find a way to deal with the things that have not actually been solved, the injustices, the wrongdoings, and prevent them from happening in the future. Because the sins of the past will be made obvious in the present if they do not get solved. And here we are still dealing with school shootings. It shouldn't take politicians to put an end to this. Because if anything, it's happening inside our society. And that's where the solution has to come from. We have to solve our problems. We don't, no matter how much you vote, no matter how many laws they put out there, if we are not doing the work as a people, or we are not doing the work as civilians, however you want to phrase it, the work is never going to get done, and the problem is only going to continue to grow. That's just my thoughts on the situation, though. I don't condone the actions of the shooter. I don't condone the actions of the father. And if anything, even in 2A community, we say that there's some people that just do not need access to firearms. And because of this dude's negligence, this father's negligence, which, yes, I agree, the father does need to go to jail. And they need to be looking at the mother, too. But because of negligence on both sides, we got to deal with more shootings. Things got to change.
This the Black Powder Podcast, let's get explicit. We got the wisdom hitting targets with a marking precision. We're having fun in the booth, we're running gun for the truth. Every future black gun owner, we're spreading the news. We do illegal, we're moving regal and blessing the people. Some hopes for the culture, we keep it locked like guns in a holster. Holding it down as we're loading the rounds. If they were nervous back then, right, then they're gonna be scared of us now. Black Powder Podcast, we'll be back in a while. Yeah.